pray that you fill our hearts as we listen to your servant Kyle. Fill his heart as he speaks to us through you, Lord. Let us have open ears and open hearts to receive what you have to tell us, what you have to change in us, what you have to build through us, Lord. Lord, I just want to lift up childminding. I pray that you fill the hearts of these little children, Lord. Allow them to see how amazing and how powerful you are in their little lives, Lord. Allow them to experience your love through their teachers, through their parents. And we pray that you bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So just want to invite our fellow brother and missionary, Kyle Lehr.
Hello. Hello. A lot of people here. Well, I'm Kyle Leung, and I'm from Vancouver. So let me set up a little bit quickly. Boy. Okay, cool. I'm going to pray quickly for my own sake. We'll get started. So Holy Spirit, I just welcome your presence right now. As you do what you want to do, you speak what you want to speak. Lord, I pray right now you open our hearts and our minds and our souls that we can get to know you and love you more. So Lord, I just ask for your presence to come. Holy Spirit, we invite you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited. Super nervous, but that's for anything I do anyways. Thank you again. So again, yeah, Psalms 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty and seek him in his temple. So this is David's heart cry. David's like, God, there's only one thing I ask, and there's only one thing I seek, is that I will dwell in your house all the days of my life to gaze upon your beauty and to seek you. So all David wanted to do was to seek God, seek God, seek God. Kind of like how the song sang was, every hour we need you, Lord, we need you, Lord. Same with David. Every single moment of his life, every second of his life, he's like, God, I need to seek you. I want to seek you. So when I read this, this is what I get. But then I go to God, and God, how do I get there? No, David has his stories. David came from point A as a shepherd boy to point whatever to become a king of Israel, become the one that God says, this is a man after my heart. God, I want to be like David. How did I get from one place to the next? How did I get to the place where when you look at me, Lord, you would say, Kyle, you're a man after my heart. And I also want that to be for you guys too. How would you guys be in this place of saying, God, I want to be in this place of David where he's like, God, I want to seek you day in and day out. I was kind of watching you guys during worship, because that's what I like to do. Not to judge anything. But one thing I got from seeing you guys was that you guys do love the Lord. So this might be a little bit of a review. I don't know. I was very, just from me being here when I was younger and now seeing how it's changed and stuff, I was like, wow, people are different. Faces are different. People love the Lord here, and that's amazing. You can pick up the pen if you want. So that was really encouraging for me just to see, you know, people here are going after God. So I do believe that this Psalm 27:4 is happening in this generation. I believe that people in this generation are understanding what David's saying. You know, one thing I seek of the Lord, one thing I ask that I will dwell, one thing I ask, one thing I seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek in his temple. All right, so back to this first thing, you know, how in the world did David go from one place to another? How does life start, you know? We can go through a lot of that of the history of David, but I don't know that well enough, so I won't be talking on that. But I do know just my own experiences. Okay, so my life from when I was growing up to now is very different. There is also a point A in my life, and now there's a present point in my life where I do know when I look back, it's like, I did not love the Lord as much as I do now. I did not walk with the Lord as much as I did now. How do I get there? And I believe that's for everybody else, too. Am I speaking too fast, or is it okay right now? Okay. I'm trying to crunch in like 10 minutes. But anyways, so the first thing I would go and ask the Lord is, like, Lord, like, how in the world did my life start? Where did I start it with? And it always goes back to the first thing. God desired relationship with me. God came to me. God seeked after me. God sought my heart. A lot of times we say, oh, I found Jesus. But not really. The fact is that he found us, really. He found us. He opened our eyes to see him. So God desires relationship with us. He is more interested in us than we are in him. And that's a big thing we need to get. A lot of times, for me, I'm like, oh, what do I do? God, are you listening? Or, you know, but the fact is that God is always listening. He's always there for us. And we just go back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis 1. You know, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we can skip through it. We see that God created things. God made the land. God made the ocean. God made the stars. God made the sun. God made plants, animals, all everything. Everything we see right now, God created it all. But in 27 or 26, God says, let us make man in an image in our own likeness. And this is the only thing that God created in the beginning where he would say to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our likeness. So God values us so much. He loves us so much. He desires us so much. He wants us. He made us to look like him, to resemble him. And I heard this one time. I was reading this book. I forgot what book. But I think I do remember. Anyways, so I was reading this book, and it was just saying how, just imagine this, okay? So God created everything. God made all the animals, and all the animals knew how God looked like. We knew who God was, right? And then all of a sudden, God creates man like his image. So you see man walking, and then you must think the animals are also walking along, and they see Adam and Eve. So they look at Adam and Eve, like, oh, it must be God. But then they do a double look kind of thing. No, that's not God, but it looks just like God. What is with this guy? So that's kind of the thing, image I get with how God created us. He made us just to resemble him. We are to live a life like his. We are, and it also says that, you know, God made us to rule and reign the earth. So that was his original purpose. God made us for relationship, to rule and reign the earth. And of course, in every relationship, if there's no communication, it'll die. Yeah? So God, besides, desires us and wants to be with us. He loves to talk to us. He desires to communicate to us in every other way. When I first went on my discipleship training school with Youth of the Mission in 2008 in YWAM, or in Japan, the first week the leader was like, Kyle, do you know, or to the whole group, do you know God speaks? And I was like, what? He speaks, and we don't just read the Bible and find all the answers there. You mean like we can talk to him one-on-one? This is a bit strange, this doesn't seem right, but we'll try it anyway. So he told us all to go off for 30 minutes, somewhere quiet, and just sit down with a pen and paper and ask God, what do you think of me? Oh, this is so strange. I couldn't focus my mind, you know, I could hear the streets, the kids outside, the cars and everything. I was like, oh, this isn't working. Can I really hear you? Is this really possible? But at the very last, pretty much the last minute, I was like, okay, let's just try one more time. God, just speak. What are you saying? And all I heard then was God saying to me, Kyle, you're my son and I love you. And that really just changed my heart the entire time. From then on, I was like, what? Okay, I heard God, but was that real? Was that me? Was it my own imagination? Were the words I just want to hear because I feel lonely right now? What's going on? But as you look back more and more, it's like God always speaks truth. God only speaks life to you. So as I look back now and go back to my journal and just that two lines, Kyle, I love you, you're my son. I'm like, you know what, God, you did speak to me. And I do hear your voice. So again, God desires us and God speaks to us. And along with just speaking to us, it's not just having a normal conversation. Of course, in all relationships, you need to have intimate conversations, right? Whereas we would go deep into the heart. So what God does a lot is that he would, as we talk and we listen to him, he would bring things up in our heart. He would bring things up in our heart that is not supposed to be there. Of course, because of sin, because of the fall of man, all this stuff, we start carrying a lot of stuff in us that is not how God made us. A little quick little thing. You know, I am made Chinese, right? And there's no doubt. You see my face. I'm Chinese. Maybe the long hair might, you know, give it up a little bit. Maybe, I mean, fool you a bit. But I'm Chinese, full-blooded Chinese, parents from Hong Kong. Right? So there's no denying the fact I'm Chinese. I could say I'm Canadian and kind of hide the fact I'm Chinese, but at the end of the day, I'm still Chinese. I cannot lie about it. I have a Chinese name. My last name is Chinese. Right? So growing up in Canada, you know, part of me was like, I wanted to be white. I don't know if you guys feel that too, but like, I want to be white. I don't want to be Asian. White are cool. You know, they're big, they're tall, they're blue eyes, blonde hair. The best. All right, so there, at the very beginning there, I already start diminishing how God made me. So there, for me, I'm already accepting a lie that Chinese people are inferior to white people. God made everybody equal, right? We were made in his image, made in his likeness. So So throughout my process in the last 5-6 years, as I've been talking more to the Lord, God's been bringing up more and more, Kyle, I made you Chinese. I made you Chinese. I made you my likeness. I made you my image. So for me to start accepting the fact is that, you know what, God, it is okay to be Chinese because you made me, and your creation is always perfect. So when we talk to God, God will start bringing things up. This is just one example of my life. I'm sure there's many more in everyone's lives. But one thing is when we talk, God starts bringing things up in our lives. And we can start realizing that there are probably things I'm holding on to. That is not how you made me. And I can be free of that. I can be healed of that. So God pursues us. God speaks to us. God loves to heal us. Another thing that I see what God does is that he likes to come where man is. When Adam and Eve were separated, when God was separate from Adam and Eve had to leave the garden, right? God was holy, we were not, it can't be together. But what God did instead of saying, goodbye, you're on your own, he was like, hey, let me give you clothes, let me help you out. And we see through the whole Old Testament, over and over again, God's always coming down to man, let me help you. When the Israelites were in 40 years of, what do you call that? Yes. 4 years of wilderness, you know, God gave them food every single morning. And said, just have enough for what you need. Trust me, have enough for what you need. Eat what you need and discard everything, and tomorrow I'll give you fresh bread. Tomorrow I'll give you fresh manna. Of course, some didn't listen. Some took some more, and they all spoiled. But God still gave them more. So here we see that every single time, and all through the whole span, even still now, God is always constantly coming after us and being in the place where we are. He does not call us to come to him. He does not call us to, hey, you got to be like me. You got to be perfect. If not, you can't be with me. But God's like, I see where you're at. I'm going to come to you because I love you. And along with that is that, in the wilderness, you know, how the Israelites would be camping in tents. I think this one of the coolest things is God is magnificent. He's glory. He's God, right? He does not deserve to live in a tent. A tent is not worthy for his being. But what he chooses to do is come down to the Israelites and live with them in tents. You know, you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So I just find that amazing of God. This God that we claim, we worship, we love, and we desire, and yet he will always come down to us. He will always come down. And of course, I cannot skip up the part. The very end is that how when he's come. Ay, ay, ay. My thoughts are going too fast. God loves us, right? So he give me 1 second. Okay, let me just recap. God pursues us. God speaks to us. God heals us. And God comes to where we're at. And the last point I have for this is that how God desires relationship is that he is always 100% after us. And of course, the evidence for that is how he sends his son Jesus to come after us. You know, God's like, I cannot be separate with man no longer. I need to be right. Man needs to be right with me. So I will offer myself. I'll offer my son. I'll sacrifice my son to come on earth, to die on the cross, to take the sins of to take the sins of mankind. So when I see men, I would see my son in them, that they would be perfect. So this is God that I'm talking about. This is God. So when I go back to one thing I ask the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty and seek him in his temple. I have that in my mind, that this is who God, this is the God I am asking to seek. This is God I'm asking to dwell with, to be with, to love and to adore and to have my entire being with him. And that kind of blows my mind because, again, I always think, I am Kyle, who am I? And this God actually wants to be with me. And once I start understanding, okay, I don't think I can ever understand the fact that God wants to be with me, but I can accept it through faith that God, you want me. I don't care if I'm imperfect or I'm good or whatever, you want me, let's just do it together, God. Let's just walk life together. So in all relationships, it's not just one way, right? We have this saying in Japan, Tokyo, is that if it's one way, it's called stalking. It doesn't work that way. We have this phrase called stalker Jesus. Because he's always coming after us, right? Whether we know or not, always coming after us. Kind of a weird image to think, you know, creeping behind the wall, looking at us. But no, I mean, he's always after us, right? So in a relationship, it's two-way. God's coming after us, but if we don't give it to him, then it's not really a relationship. So for our part, having this God who would humble himself come after us, it's kind of, in my mind, because I kind of grew up with it too, and I kind of live it, I don't say I fully live it, but I'm learning to live it. It's a no-brainer to say, God, if you're coming after me, I want to come after you. You know, I think with anybody, in a worldly sense, I don't like to use that, but I'm going to do it anyway. So in a worldly sense, right, you know, if you have a super, super rich guy or girl, It's beautiful. It has everything the world wants and offers and comes to you and says, hey, will you be my wife or husband? In a worldly sense, we'll always probably say yes. I'll be successful. I don't need to work. I can just chill every day, right? Right? No given, right? But the world doesn't work. God doesn't work that way, because I believe the world is a fake. It's a fake. It's a, I'll use the word fake. It's a fake of what God gives. All right, so, oh my gosh, time's up. It's okay. So we need to desire relationship with God too. And how do we do that? So again, when I start reading this verse, okay, God, so you are coming after me. And what is my response to you? What is my response to say to what you've given me? What is my response to say, yes, Lord, yes, I want to go after you. I believe in you. I hope in you and all that kind of stuff. And of course, the first things first is we can talk to the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. We can have relationship and we can talk. We can encounter him. We can, yeah, pretty much we can talk and we can encounter him. Very simple. Let me give that a little bit more detail. What can I say? Every Friday night in Japan, we have this thing. We go to the city called Ikebukuro. And if you translate that in English, it's called palm bag. So I kind of find like it maybe sounds like a cuss word, but it's not. Ikebukuro, Ike is palm, Bukuro is bag. So we go to the city called palm bag. Sorry, that was my joke. And at the center, we all we do is worship and pray. From 5 to 8:30, we just worship and pray. We don't, we call that our outreach. We call it Friday outreach, but we don't really talk to people. All we do is talk to God. We worship, we pray, we sing songs, we love on him, we dance, we celebrate, we just do things with God. We just pursue God and encounter God and allow him to encounter us. So there's this whole relationship building on Friday night. And the crazy thing about this is we call it outreach. Why we call it outreach is because when we're pursuing God, when we're loving him, his presence comes, his being is here. So example, like you know, when a man and a woman, husband and wife are in the same room, they're in the same room together, but they're not talking. Well, if they start pursuing each other, they start talking and something starts building, right? So same with us and God. When we start talking, you know, God is all over here. He's always here, right? But there's a difference when we say, God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, come. I invite you to talk. Let's hang out. Let's talk. And then there's something going on. There's relationship going on. Versus if I'm here and God's in the back of the room and I just do my own thing and I don't talk to him at all, and there's no relationship building at all. For example, me and Andy, he's just sitting there. If I don't even address you at all the whole time, there's nothing going on. But right now I'm talking to you, so you feel that connection, right? Same thing on Friday nights. So we're talking to God. We just praise. We're loving him. We're singing songs in English, in Japanese, in Spanish, whatever language we know. Right? And always, this is an open. So people would come and see us. And they're sort of like, what are these people doing? You know, I'm one of the worship leaders. So I know I don't play well and I don't sing well. But people are still drawn to me either. Like, what is this guy singing? He's out of tune. I don't know what they're thinking, but they're drawn. But what happens next is that I see them just start crying. I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on here? Why are they crying? You know, so we have people, there's about 20 of us, right? So we all international, some speak Japanese, so we go up to them and like, what's going on? And I was like, and we have stories, this guy's like, I don't know what's going on, but being here, I just feel so loved and so accepted. Some are through translation, so some of them don't know what we're doing, they don't know what we're saying, don't know what we're singing, but like, I just feel so loved here. And that's when evangelism it becomes easy, because God's pretty much doing the work. All we gotta say is, you know what you're feeling? It is God. It is God you're feeling, it is God your experiences. Do you want some of him? Do you want to experience him? I don't know why I share that, but that was good. So we can, again, encountering God. So we can encounter God, and that's what happens when people come up to places where we are just seeking after the Lord. When we seek after God, his presence comes, people encounter Jesus. I think that's basically what being missionary is sometimes. You just love Jesus, and people encounter Jesus. But how do we love Jesus? You know, is there steps? There's really never any steps. It's not a formula. But what I do know is that in all over Deuteronomy is one of my favorite books that I got to read when I was in a really bad time because I was nothing to do. But anyways, Deuteronomy, there's more to that, sorry. Deuteronomy, all over Deuteronomy, God says, love me with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you do that? Is heck okay word to say? How do you love God? How do you love him with your heart, mind, soul, and strength? That seems so impossible. Like, how do I give my heart? How do I give my mind? Like, do I only think just God all the time? God, God, God. Or do I just say I love God all the time in my heart? Like, what? How does that work? And slowly, slowly, the Lord started revealing to me, you know, Kyle, just start simple. In every relationship that you have, love me. Okay, what does that mean? Well, however you love your parents, love me like you love your parents. However you love your friends, love me like how you love your friends. So every relationship, how it's supposed to be done, love me like that, then you start understanding what it means to love me with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as I start doing that more and more, every area of my life, still working on it now, but it becomes more and more submitted to God. I was like, okay, as I'm going to work for this person, I'm going to do it unto you. I'm going to love this person. I'm going to love everything. I'm going to love this God, love the work I'm doing, and allow you to work through me. That was amazing for me, just a change of perspective. It's like everything you do is out of loving the Lord. I was like, wow, that was crazy. But that's not enough, I don't think. I mean, I shouldn't say the word, because then we start striving and things go downhill from that. But when we start loving the Lord more and more, we cannot help but start reading His word more. We can't help but start worshiping more. We can't help but start praying more. So by seeking after the Lord's face, seeking after Him and being in His house and gazing upon His beauty, we get more of God. We fall in love with more of God. More of our lives get surrendered to God. And then out of that flows just worship, prayer, fellowship, reading the word, and evangelism. That's five things I said. So yeah, evangelism, fellowship, reading the word, prayer, and worship. That just becomes the outflow of letting the Lord love you and loving Him back. And I love this. And the woman at the well, John 14:13, Jesus answered the woman, like, whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the... Wait, let me read that word. Oh yeah. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So clearly, this example of the woman at the well, we saw that she encountered Jesus. Jesus totally, in our term, read her mail. Basically, what it means is like knew everything, prophesied over her, knew all her past. The Father revealed everything to Jesus about her past. So read her mail, is kind of what we call it. Read her mail. Said everything about her, and instead of the woman feel like shameful, you know, for having so many husbands, or feel like a terrible person, or feel like an outcast, she felt so loved by God that she actually went out to the whole city and said, guess what? This man just knew, said everything about me. I'm pretty sure everybody knew too. But what you see later is that the whole city becomes saved. That is what happens when you encounter Jesus, when you go after him, when you seek after him and gaze upon his beauty and just get so focused on who he is that when that one encounter you need will just change a nation, will change a city. So that comes really to my last point, is that through intimacy comes our identity in Christ as we live our life. Kind of like the Great Commission, right? We were told to make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? If we do not love the Lord, we don't know the Lord loves us. It's kind of impossible to do that. Right? If we don't understand, if we do not walk in that truth that we are loved, then we have relation with God. It's kind of impossible to do that. But the great thing is that even though we don't understand, it's God doing it for us, God doing it in us, God doing it all over us. We don't need to do much because God is already doing it. Does that make sense? It didn't really make sense in my head, but I'm glad it made sense to you guys. God Himself is doing it for us. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a helper, as a counselor to help us and do it for us. So, yeah, I am super excited that I know my flaws, I know what I can't do, but I also know that Jesus is bigger than my flaws. Jesus is bigger than what I have. He's bigger than what I don't have. He's bigger, pretty much, He doesn't need me to do His job, but He desires to do it with me. And that kind of just crazy, just blows my mind too. It's like, God, again, why are you choosing me? And I think it's not just me, He chooses every one of you. And I think you guys should understand that what I'm saying right now is that it's like, it's not just for the missionary on the mission field. It's not like, yeah, I go to Asia or Africa or anything like that, or somewhere in the Middle East or Southeast Asia. It's like in your own schoolyard, you know, in your own backyard, in your own workplace, you know. If you understand that the Lord loves you, and you know that you love the Lord, there's no doubt in your mind you love the Lord. And how you know you love the Lord? You just know you love the Lord, you know. Oh, that didn't really help. Okay, you know God loves you, and you love the Lord, right? And you start, again, doing what David is doing is one thing I ask the Lord, is one thing I seek. I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek Him. Once you start doing that, again, it's a relationship, right? What happens when you're, for those who are not married, or for those who are married and those who are dating, or those who have dated, you know, what happens when you were in a relationship? You know, you guys share secrets with each other, correct? You guys share things you enjoy. You guys You guys go on dates. You guys enjoy fancy stuff. You guys also, when you guys are hurting, you both of you are hurting together. When you guys are happy, you both are rejoicing together. You guys are sharing everything together, correct? That's what I see. I haven't really experienced it myself, but it's what I see. Right? There is that element of enjoyment, and that's same with God. You know, sometimes we like to put God, you're just in church, you know, but when you're out in your workplace, as a Christian, as a lover, as a son, and a daughter in Christ, you're like, you know what, God? Let's just enjoy life together. And God will start sharing you secrets. God will start telling you things. You know, a lot of fun things that would happen, we'd be walking down the street, you know, and then God would say, hey, talk to this person, you know. But then, you know, growing up, this is scary. I don't want to talk to somebody. But then you start realizing, you know, God is with me. You know, just the song we sung today, God, you're with me. You're with me. You want me to share something with this person? Let's do it, you know. And I've seen crazy stuff, you know. I've seen some crazy stuff, but I can't think of it off my head. But things just happen. So think with your workplace, you know. When you start feeling like things are, like, this place stinks right now. It sucks. It's like everybody's complaining. Things are not going the way it should be. Everybody just want to leave and not work. You know, let's go. Holy Spirit, I just invite you. Let's make this place fun because they need to encounter you. Because they probably don't have an encounter with you. That's why this place is sucking right now, right? So, like, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And then you start hearing him whisper stuff to you and you start living that out. Okay, hey, dude, you know, the Lord is telling me that in his example. You know, telling him that, you know, you had a car crash today or whatever. I don't know anything. I just want to tell you that you're an amazing guy. You know what I'm saying? Let's change stuff like that. So, yeah. One more time. I want to read the verse. One thing I ask of, I want you guys to actually read it with me. Do something with it. I don't know what. Ask the Lord. He'll tell you, right? Let him whisper it to your ears. Let's just do that. I'm going to read it and I'll say something. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty and seek him in his temple. So my challenge for you is that, knowing, if you don't know who God is, ask him, God, who are you? Again, for me, I didn't know who he was. I didn't really know, but he's told me, Kyle, you're my son and I love you, right? And then start responding, okay, as a son, what do I have? And you go through the scripture, right? This is amazing to know what God's saying. You know, of course we can hear him too, but this is permanent. You know, our minds can still lie to us sometimes. It's kind of funky that way. But go after the Lord. Seek after him. Look, ask him, God, what is it you want me to do? All right, so hey, that'll be my challenge. I would even ask that you guys would even take 30 minutes. If you don't do this often, journal. Ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what are you thinking about me? Write that all down. So in closing, all I have to say is seek the Lord, ask to seek the Lord, dwell in his house all the days of your life, gaze upon the beauty, and know who this God is. And just remember this, God pursues you, God speaks to you, God wants to heal you, God comes to wherever you're at, you don't have to be perfect, and God is always 100% running after you. So every time you feel God is not with me, just remember this truth, God is pursuing you. Every time you think God is not talking, remember this, God speaks to you. Every time you feel like God is ignoring your pain, God wants to heal you. Every time you feel like God does not understand you, God is always at where you are. And every time you feel like you are just not good enough, just remember he gave his son to die for you. So, yeah. I'm a little over time, but thank you for listening. And I'd love to pray for you guys later or whatever if you guys want to. I might have another service, I think, but after that. And again, go after the Lord. I just enjoyed watching you guys doing worship. You guys love the Lord. You guys want more of God. So I'm very encouraged to be here. You guys are amazing. So thank you. Sorry. I went over a little bit. Thank you.